wanted to ask today, what's wrong with religion, people? What is wrong with religion? Do you know what's wrong with religion?
It's not from God.
It's not from God. Religion, you know, I just wanted to talk about religion. Religion actually reminds me a lot of this old car my mother used to have. You know, she had this when we were kids out on the farm. She had this old beat up car, and it was always giving her problems. It either wasn't starting, or when it would start, then it would run kind of funny. You know, sometimes it didn't start because it didn't have any gas, but that was a whole different story. You know, but this thing just was always a problem. In the winter, it would be all frozen up and just wouldn't start. And it would always strand us out in the middle of nowhere, you know, when it decided to die. And this old car, you know, really, I don't know how she put up with it for all those years of driving it, but she did. And I don't know if you've ever had a car like that or knew somebody that had a car like that. You know, but if you did, then you'll understand what religion is like. Because religion is a broken down old car that doesn't take you anywhere. It's a broken old down old car. The wheels are falling off of it. And yet there are people still trying to go somewhere in it. And it's not taking them anywhere. You know, because it just won't run. It doesn't run. It's broken. Everything is wrong with religion. Now, I'm not talking about just one specific religion. I'm not picking on any single one. I'm including all religions. I'm including religions from the East and religions from the West, religions from the North and religions from the South. They are all broken. They don't work. They don't run. They're worn out. They won't take you anywhere you want to be. That's the way religions are. They are stiff and uncompromising, and it's a one-size-fits-all system. If you ever noticed this, I don't know if you've ever worked at a place where they had a one-size-fits-all uniform. Mm-hmm. Unless you happen to be that size, you're uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. You know, because the uniform's too big, so you got to roll the sleeves up. And you're always pulling the sleeves up because it keeps sliding down, you know. Or if you're too big, then you go to bend over and you rip the back out of it because it just doesn't fit, you know. A one-size-fits-all uniform just doesn't feel good. And that's what religion's like. It's uncomfortable, you know. They expect everybody to kind of fall into this certain form, this certain way of being. And that is not how we were made. If you think about it, God made us all unique. We have special gifts. We have special abilities, and we look different. We don't look the same, you know? And we don't have the same personalities. We don't have the same sense of humor. We don't have the same ideas. You know, we don't have the same desire to do the same thing. We are inspired and to be creative in different ways. And yet, religion tries to force us into this rigid structure, try to mold us in to be a one-size-fits-all, that we all look the same, act the same, and try to be the same. And it doesn't work. It does not work. It never has worked. Because I might ask, when did it break down, religion? It was always broken. It was always broken down. There was never a time where religion worked. You know, because you might say, well, no, Ted, in the old days it worked. No, it didn't work. It was broken even then. Because God does not function in religion. God functions in relationships. He's not there in religion. And the whole point was to have an encounter or to know God. But if God's not there in the religion, that means you don't get out of it what it was you wanted. There's nothing there. That's why you're going nowhere. That's why it's not moving. Because God is not there. He's not functioning. He doesn't function in religion. A religion is a lot like a corporation. It's cold. It's structured. It's got all these protocols you've got to follow. And it's not always easy to follow those. You know, and like I said, God wants to be in a relationship. He's not a big corporate guy. You know, if you could just imagine for a moment, Liza used to be in a corporation. It reminds me of her a lot because if you think about it, here she was working as this computer programmer in this cubicle. And I can't imagine anybody worse suited for this job of being stuck in a cubicle because Liza is also a relationship type person. She functions, she thrives in relationships. She comes to life when she's in the center of a crowd and begins to speak to people. She comes to life when she's hearing about somebody's life and how she can help them and how she can make a difference. And when she was in that cubicle working isolated, it was like solitary confinement for her. Every day it was like Mission Impossible, trying to figure out how to get out of the cubicle. Dun, 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 dun. Hey, I'm going for coffee. You want to come? Dun, dun, boom, gone. Dun, 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 dun. How do I get out of this cubicle today? Hey, look, the water cooler over there. Every day it was Mission Impossible, how to escape from the cubicle, because in the cubicle she was isolated and she was dying. That wasn't her way to be, and she just couldn't seem to, you know, just felt like she was getting tireder and tireder. You know, she'd go over to visit somebody else's cubicle. So what have you done over here? Oh, I like what you've done with your cubicle. Oh, this is nice. But it was just a reason to escape again from her own cubicle. Because she doesn't function in a corporate environment like that. She functions in relationships. And that's the same way God is. God doesn't function in a cold environment with no love. In a structured, you know, hard way like that. God speaks to us and works with us in a very individual, unique way because we're all so unique in our own sense. And he understands that. So he doesn't try to form us or stick us into a mold. He really helps us to break out to become who we were meant to be. He helps to bring out the gifts and the abilities in us. He's not trying to cram us into that little cubicle, have everybody in a little square box. He is really opening us to break out into life, into a greater life, so that we can live a life more abundantly, an amazing life in all ways. And that's what's wrong with religion. Religion is trying to put people, make them conform to a certain set of rules, trying to squeeze them in. And often it's been used to control people in the name of God through guilt and fear. They have tried to control and stop what people were doing in their lives or prevent them from really stepping forward and following the leading of God's Spirit so they could have conformity. But it doesn't work, and it's never worked, and it's time to get rid of it. It's time to realize that religion has done more to harm the reputation of God than to help it. Because whenever we talk about religion, and I'm saying this because over the last couple of weeks I've been having conversations with people out there in the real world, and I noticed something very interesting. They don't have a problem with God. They have a problem with religion. And I'm talking all religions. We're not singling out one here. I'm talking about all of them. And their problem was because these religions were doing something in the name of God. Religion divides. Always people are divided. And it divides even in amongst itself. Within its own religion, there's always divisions upon divisions. One order says you must wear your shirt 1 inch higher. The other says you must wear it 1 inch lower. They now have a conflict and they separate. One says you must shave your head. The other one says, no, you have to have hair. They separate. There's always division over the most ridiculous things. And there's conflict as a result of that. Because they're trying to get everybody to be the same, conformed, the minute somebody disagrees with them, they have to split with them. And now that over there is my enemy. They're my enemy because they're not dressed the same as me. They're not speaking the same as me. They're not thinking the same as me. That's what religion does. That's why people are upset with religion. Religion's been creating conflict. They've all been doing it in the name of promoting God, but the problem is God isn't even functioning there. God doesn't function in religion. He functions in relationships. So religion is broken. How do we get out of that? We go back to the original plan. The original plan of God was to have relationships. He's always been about relationships. Relationships with you. We can see that right at the very beginning. If we go back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. Listen to this. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. This is Adam and his wife. Now think about that for a moment. There's God out in the garden. He's out for a stroll in the cool of the day. What's he doing down there? What's he doing down there in the garden? Walking around. He's out there to see Adam and Eve. He wants to talk to them. He wants to see what's going on in the garden. Hey, what's up today? How are you doing? What's happening? God's having a relationship with Adam. You know, he's not some big corporate guy in an office, you know. Cindy, send out a memo and see what's happening. I need a progress report from Adam down in the garden. No. God is a relationship guy. He's not just buzzing down to find out the progress report. He's going down. Here he is out in the cool of the day, strolling around to visit Adam, find out what's going on. What's happening, Adam? Oh, God, you know, I just named this animal over here. I called it a giraffe. Oh, good job. I like that. That works for me. You know, he wants to hang out with Adam. He wants to talk with him. He wants to find out. So he's not just up in his big corporate office in the sky getting progress reports. He's coming down. He's hanging out. He's walking around. He's talking. You know, in a relationship, you have conversations, and you get to find out something about the person, and you share something about yourself. This is what God is doing. This is what God always wanted. This is from the very beginning. This is Genesis 3. He's out there strolling around in the garden. Now, of course, after Adam decided to go off on his own and eat some apples or fruits that God had said not to, it became a lot harder for God to have that relationship. But God never changed his plan. Now, remember, it changed because now suddenly the brilliance of God, how much, you know, just how glorious he was, you know, for that to come in contact with Adam now would have killed him, only because Adam dropped to a lower level when he started, you know, living in this other way. And so it made it hard for God to have relationships now with man. But he didn't change his plan. He still was about relationships, not religion. He still wanted to have a wonderful relationship with men. He still wanted to talk to them and be with them. That was the plan from the very beginning. We see that with Noah. Here with Noah, he's talking. You know, God is talking to Noah. Hey, Noah, got some news for you. Yeah, what, God? I want you to build a ship. What's a ship, God? It's a thing that floats in water. Really? What do we need that for? I don't see any water. There's going to be a big rain. Rain? I've never even heard of rain. There never was rain before that. But here, Noah and God are having a little conversation. Noah's saying, hey, I don't even know how to build a ship, God. I'm going to give you some information, give you some wisdom. And he gives them the guidance on how to build the ship. They're having a relationship here. It's not a cold structure where there's no, you know, no love going on. God is loving Noah. He's talking to him. He's walking with him and sharing with him. He's walking at a distance now because he can't walk right beside him like he did with Adam. Yet, that's still in his plan. As a result of this, Noah's able to do all these things. He builds this incredible ark. Nobody had ever seen an ark before. Nobody had ever seen that much water before. But here, Noah was able to do it because he had received from God wisdom. God had conveyed that to him in his heart, in his mind. He saw the images and the picture of what he was building. And then he was able to lead all those animals in there two by two. I can tell you right now that that didn't happen with just Noah and three sons, leading all those animals in there two by two. I know, because I grew up on a farm. We used to try to herd some cattle into the barn. You know, just trying to get a few cattle into the barn sometimes was a major ordeal. We had to run around and try to stop them, and they're always trying to get away. They're running the opposite direction. Sometimes it was a major catastrophe trying to get them in the barn. It took forever. And yet Noah was able to go with three sons. I had three brothers. And we couldn't get the cattle in the barn. He has three sons, and he's able to get all these animals upon the earth two by two into this ark. And I think they were on a schedule, too. Pretty tight schedule. How did they do that? They didn't do it alone. They were having a relationship with God. God was helping to orchestrate it. God was helping to guide them. God was helping to lead those animals. Bring them on in. So it was all easy. I wish I had that when I was a kid. Would have saved me a lot of running. But you know, that's the great thing about a relationship with God. You know, in religion, we don't get to see the benefits of what God is all about. We don't receive the blessings. Instead, we have condemnation and guilt and fear. But when we're in relationship with God, that's now when we really get to see the blessings come about. We get to see supernatural powers. Look at Noah suddenly knew things he didn't know before. He had skills he didn't know he had. He had the skill to build this incredible ark. He became a shipbuilder overnight. And that's one of the blessings we have when we have relationships with God. Suddenly we have abilities to do things we didn't know that were possible. Or we didn't know we had that skill. And yet it's there. And when we have relationships with God, it comes out. Blessings come out. Noah was extremely blessed. You know, here he knew of this catastrophe that was coming, and he was able to prevent it for his family, able to save and protect his family, because he had relationship with God. Because of that relationship, his family went on to do great things. They were able to, you know, sail just out like they were out on a cruise when this thing was going on, this whole storm, in their ark. Because God had prepped them, prepared them, and talked to them. That's what God is like for us when we have a relationship with Him. He prepares us for situations. It doesn't matter if there's some unexpected event that takes place. You're already going to know about it. You're already going to know what to do. God is going to speak into your heart what you need to say or what you need to do in that situation. You've already got that. And that's because you've got relationship with God. You know, people that are in religion, they only know of God, but they don't know God. In order to have the blessings and the benefits, we got to have a relationship with God. We got to be speaking to Him every day and listening to Him every day so that He can be leading us and teaching us and taking us to, you know, our best level. He brings out the best in us. He doesn't try to conform us to just fit into one shape and try to make us all look and act the same like religion does. He opens us up to be our own unique special self, the person He created to be your best self. He brings out those gifts and abilities you never knew you had so that you can go out and flourish in the world in amazing ways. So you can use all those talents. That's what relationship does for us. That's when the blessing comes. You know, God was also in relationship with Abraham. Remember Abraham? There he was in Haran, relaxing. And then God started speaking to him. Abraham started speaking back. They started developing this relationship. And God told them what He was going to do for him. If you continue having this relationship with Me, here's what's going to happen. In Genesis 12, it talks about this. Here's God speaking. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. And I will curse him who curses you. And in all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you. Sorry, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So God is telling Abraham, what's going to come about if he has this relationship with God? And the minute he has this, you know, as he has this relationship with him, as he walks with him and speaks to him and lets him pour his love into his heart, Abraham is blessed. And notice he's also able to be a blessing to others. He's blessed so much, he has extra. There's extra blessing to go around to others. And that's what we have as well. That same promise that God spoke to Abraham, he speaks into your life too. And he says that if you have a relationship with me, if you speak to me and listen to me and walk with me, and God still wants to walk with us the same way he was walking with Adam. He's still interested in you and wants to come and check it out and say, hey, what's going on? What's happening? He's not interested in just calling down for a report. He wants to come down and find out firsthand because he loves you guys. And that's why he's all about relationship. He is just full of love, and he wants to just kind of assist you and help you to become what he created you to be. He wants to help you to be your best. And with Abraham, that's what was happening here. Abraham's life is changing and transforming because he's following what God is leading him to do. He is saying the things that God wants him to say. There's no rules here with Noah and with Abraham. There were no rules that they were following. It wasn't a religion. At that point, there wasn't a whole bunch of rules they had to follow. There wasn't something strict they had to be conformed into, like a religion. They were having relationship with God. They were speaking to him. They were listening to him. They were feeling his spirit fill them up and lead them to do greater things. That's a big difference. That is the big difference between religion and relationship with God. With relationship with God, the most important thing is we want to know how to hear him. We also speak to him, but we also want to hear from him. We want to be able to feel his presence in our heart so that he can lead us in life every day, every moment. He can lead us in different ways. That's how we get that blessing that we were reading about here that he promised Abraham. That's how we're blessed. That's how we're able to be a blessing to others. When God is there with us. See, he never gave up on that plan of wanting to walk in the garden with us like he did at the very beginning. He never gave up on that plan. That's why he came and walked as Jesus on the earth. Because in that human form, he could now reveal himself to us. And again, there he could walk through the garden. How many times did Jesus walk with his disciples through the garden? Garden of Gethsemane, or some other garden, or walk through the countryside, you know, or walk through a village. There's God, just strolling along. Hey, how's it going, Peter? I'm doing fine. You know, he was able to, as a result of that, he was able to really find out what they needed. What was their difficulties? What was their problems? Hey, I can help that. Oh, you're sick? Let me heal that. Boom. They're healed. That's what God's desire has always been. Religion puts them at a distance away from us because it isolates us in a cubicle. Same way Liza was in that cubicle, isolated. That's what religion does. It isolates us from God. It isolates us from his love. It isolates us from the world. It isolates us from ourselves and who we can really truly be, who God created us to be. It never allows us to become that because we're stuck in that box. But when we get into relationship with God, when we invite Jesus into our heart, now we can start to cruise and walk through the garden. And all of our best talents and abilities begin to come to the surface. The Spirit begins to lead us in life to do greater things. Teach us things we never knew, like Noah was taught. How to build this big ark, this big ship. God can teach us things we didn't know. Give us talents we didn't know we have. Give us skills. He can assist us to make our life a blessing. And then we can be a blessing to others too. I keep thinking, you know, how the world could be different if everyone who was leading a religion, all of the leaders, instead of proclaiming their religion and pounding their rules and trying to get people to conform to it, imagine if instead they began to teach people how to hear from God, how to listen to God, how to follow God's guidance. Imagine how many people's lives would be changed overnight because they're no longer listening to a corporation, which is essentially what the religion is, that's cold, but now they begin to listen to the heart of God, which is love. That is our goal. Our goal is to help people break away out of their cubicles, like that Mission Impossible that Liza was doing every day. Thankfully, she broke out of that cubicle and she's now able to have not only relationships with people, but with God, because she escaped that world. Our job is to help other people understand that their real life, true life, is in relationship with God. Religion is dead. It's always been dead. There's nothing there. But in God, we will have a life filled with joy and blessing and goodness. I know that there are people that have resistance out there today. Resistance to God because of what some religion has said or what some religion has done in the name of God. But I know that when we begin to speak and help them understand the difference between religion and God, and they'll see the difference, because God never did any of those things that religion claims. God never did that stuff. It was people that did that stuff in the name of God, under their banner of their religion, whatever that happened to be. But we know that God is a good God, a God of love. And when we start to share our personal experience with other people, it doesn't matter what their background is, when we start to share our experiences with them about how God has worked in our lives and worked in our hearts and changed our lives, instead of there being division, it can bring people together. Because it's easy for human beings to share their experiences, especially when I'm sure other people have had experiences with God too. So when they both come together, two people come together and share that experience, that's when we have unity. That's what brings people together. There's something common now. Because I can tell them the story of how God has touched my life and changed my life. And they can tell me how they've had encounters with God and what God has done in theirs. And now we are joined. Our job is to go out there and help people to understand the importance of a relationship with God. Help people to hear, know that they can listen to God and hear Him, have Him speak into their heart, have them lead them, and that it's not a confining, conforming, where they are imprisoned or feel like they are isolated or that they are stuck in a mold, but they will realize in that relationship that they are set free. They are set free to be their true self, and their best qualities will come to the surface, and they will be able to step into a life that they never dreamed of, because it'll be filled with blessings above and beyond what they could imagine. Our job is to help people understand how wonderful a relationship with God is.